If you have your Bibles on hand, would you please turn to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. If you don't have your Bibles with you or on hand, then please listen attentively to this reading of Scripture from God's Word. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 1, and reading through to verse 6. Okay? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. This reading, of course, refers to our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I've entitled the message, appropriately, Give Satan the Boot. Is it not time to give Satan the boot? Has he not had the preeminence long enough? Let's turn to Isaiah 14 for another short reading. Isaiah 14, just a few pages back, verses 12 to 16. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 16. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your precious word. For it is written, Lord, for our admonition. It is written, Lord, for us to study, for us, dear God, to be drawn closer to Thee and to our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Please unstop the ears that are listening today, Lord. May their hearts be open and aware of this time in which we live. And, Lord, may we go forward, Lord, with the energy that we so need that can only come from Thee, Lord, to give Satan the boot and stop allowing him to have any more preeminence in our lives. Almighty God, we trust in thee now, Lord. Give me words to say, Lord, that will mean something to those who are listening. O Lord God, be edified. Jesus Christ, be lifted up. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So, in Isaiah 14, 12 to 16, we read, if I may say so, God's big three, speaking of angels, of course, Michael, God's angel of war. Well, if you will, Then, God's right-hand man, so to speak. Now, how about Gabriel, God's messenger? We've heard a lot about Gabriel during the time of the birth of Christ, during the Christmas message. And last, the infamous, although not always so in the beginning, Lucifer, God's perfect specimen, the anointed cherub, likely the most powerful of the three, until pride entered in and took hold. And Lucifer and one-third of the angels tried to pull a coup and grab the throne of God. Henceforth, he and his army were cast out of heaven to earth. To earth. Would this not have to be after the earth was formed? A little food for thought there. Satan wanted to hurt God, and the only way he could do this was to attack the children of God. You see, he could not assail God personally in any way to bring him down. For God is all-powerful above everything and everyone. But he could hurt God through other methods. Satan was a very powerful, and he still is a very powerful force in the universe. And we are to reckon with that fact. To realize that and not allow ourselves to be taken, not allow ourselves to be hoodwinked or fooled. Satan wanted to hurt God, and the only way he could do this was to attack the children of God. He knew that his inevitable fate was the pit, the lake of fire. But first, he would be allowed to taste of victory, yet never to be victorious. To all of God's creation, Satan's attributes of vanity and pride would run their course, only to culminate on a day that our all-knowing God had predetermined in the lake of fire. But first, let me ask you this. Does God hate? Does God hate? Well, if you know your Bible, you could answer that very quickly. But for those of you who perhaps have never read the Bible or studied it to any real effect, yes, God hates. Now, what does God hate? Well, God hates evil. All evil. God hates sin. God hates a proud look. That's another message. But be sure that pride is probably our greatest adversary. For pride is what brought Lucifer into his current state when he tried to rise up over God. But the point here is that Lucifer hates God too. God hates sin, which is what Lucifer stands for, Satan, the devil. But Satan also hates God. So they're at enmity with each other, of course, good versus evil. Has that not always been the case throughout time? Good versus evil. Excuse me, or if you wish, you can say evil versus good. Doesn't matter. One way or the other, it's the same thing. Satan does not want us. He does not want us to be God's buddy, so to speak. He knows the best way to get us to offend God is by doing what we want to do. That we should go, you know, for the brass ring. Grab what you can as fast as you can and be proud of it. How many people live under that code this very day? You know, Satan's not an ugly monster as depicted in some of the comic books with horns and a red suit, although he could be if he chose. The fact of the matter is that Satan portrays himself most often as an angel of light. Oh, Doesn't that kind of draw you just to hear it? Angel of light. Haven't you heard the stories of people on their deathbed seeing a light, a bright light, and being drawn to it? Like they were passing into another dimension? And yet they think that's the light that shines from heaven, that it's God beckoning them. Careful. Careful. The fact of the matter is, Satan portrays himself as an angel of light, like a statue in a shrine that sheds tears. We've heard that story. Or sheds drops of blood. Cries drops of blood. Ooh. Or an obscure image portrayed as the Christ on the wall of some donut shop somewhere. Satan is the king of charisma, a gem of joy, the handsomest hunk, the jack of all trades, the wickedest of the wicked. He's the master of disguise, taken on many forms, most of them beautiful, subtle, deceitfully good. Satan can show you great miracles. He can heal even a wound unto death. Satan is the great imposter and master liar. He's meticulous in enticing people to compromise. To him, sin does not exist. It's just God's way of being, and if you'll pardon the expression, Lord, being a party pooper. That's the way Satan looks upon God. When you were a child, did you not enjoy doing some of the forbidden things? More than that which was good and righteous? If your mom said curfew was at 8, did you not stay out until maybe 8:10 or 8:20? Or maybe even 8:30. Really pushing it. And when you're browsing in a bookstore, do you not have a desire, or did you not have a desire, to peek at the adult section? You know, I've been working very hard at trying to be an obedient child of the King. It's a difficult task indeed. Because not only does obedience show God that you believe, but the blessings associated with obedience, these are the blessings he wants to shower upon us so plenteous. Yes, he does. Have you checked lately? Have you checked if you are getting the most of God's blessings? Oh, there's many blessings he has to pour upon us. But he doesn't delve them out frivolously. No. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Sometimes just our attitude or a trifling thought that's not pleasing to God is left out of our prayers. It doesn't have to be something big like stealing or idolatry or kicking the neighbor's cat or dog. In fact, most of our lost blessings are the result of silly little things. Silly little things that never cross our minds as being sinful in the eyes of God. Let me give you an example of one of mine. I was in a major superstore shopping for groceries. I was alone, and I was using, you know, one of those self-checkouts they have. I like them. They're fast, but on this particular day, as I was using the machine, of course, this voice comes on the machine and told me to pick up my bags. And as I did, I noticed that An extra bag was stuck to the ones I had paid for. And since my hands were fully occupied and I couldn't shake it loose, I just kept moving toward the exit. As I made my way toward my car way down in the parking lot, the Holy Spirit of God began speaking to my heart. Where are you going with that extra bag you didn't pay for? I thought for a moment. Oh, it's only a bag. I can't shake it loose. So it'll just have to go home with me, I suppose. By the time I had reached my car, I was totally overwhelmed by that one crummy little bag that insisted on following me outside. As I placed my groceries inside my vehicle, the Holy Spirit of God had me right where He wanted me. And He said to my heart again, Brother Tom. Yo-ho, Brother Tom! The other night at church, as I recall, you were telling your friends that obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Oh, boy. For a moment, I lowered my head in absolute shame. And my eyes got all watery. It was only a 5-cent plastic bag, but the message I received that day was priceless. I was a hypocrite. After asking God's forgiveness, I took that grocery bag, walked across the parking lot, and returned it to its rightful place inside the store. My blessings were restored. Does this sound trivial to you? Well, what sounds trivial to us is not trivial to God. Those little sins that we class them as. Sin is sin. There's no greater sin than the sin you are sinning. Oh, look at that person. He's into idolatry. Or look at that one. He's a thief. Or look at that one. He's a liar. You know what? God says if we've broken one of His commandments, we've broken them all. Hello, murderer. Hello, liars. Hello, thieves. Hello, idolaters and adulterers. How y'all doing now?
Oh, don't you call me a liar or thief or murderer. I ever did all that. Well,
tell it to God. Don't tell it to me. You know, though Satan cannot indwell a child of the King, I'm talking about a saved person. Now, if you're hearing this message and you're not saved, stay tuned. But if you are saved, you're called a child of the King. Bear that in mind. He can still whisper sweet nothings in your ear. Oh, that old devil can. And produce visual allurements to entice the heart and mind. Satan is the master deceiver. He has more power than any of us. Or all of us put together. You know, when watching TV, the program may contain what they label as the disclaimer, unsuitable content, may have unsuitable language or scenes, not appropriate for all family members, so forth and so on. You may be enjoying it and anxious to see how it turns out. Well, as the plot thickens, you can hardly wait. Suddenly, out of the blue, or should I say, out of the pit, one of the actors takes the Lord's name in vain. What do you do? What do you do? Well, there was a time early in my Christian life that I just ignored it. And I'm ashamed to say so, but I did. But then, as I drew closer to God, and as I prayed harder for His understanding, for my understanding of who He was, rather, I began to realize that if I really, really wanted God's blessings in my life, and I wanted them to grow daily, for He loves to bless us, I'd have to concentrate more fully on doing the things He would have me do, remembering who He is, being mindful of His great power, and how I can reap those blessings by being obedient, by being obedient. There you have it, right at the crucial moment in the movie. Some idiot screams out the Lord's name in vain. What do you do? What do you do? Of course, the answer is simple. It's clear. Turn it off! It's trash anyway. See how sneaky that old devil is? First, he entices you. Then he makes you believe there's nothing sinful happening. That's compromise, isn't it? Then, when he has you hooked, whammo! Are you prepared to risk a blessing from God? Those all-important blessings that you've been praying for all the time? Oh, God, would you help me with this? Please, God, I need this. I really do. Oh, Lord, I don't feel good. Please help me. And it seems that God doesn't answer your prayer. Oh, He answers all right in the way that He believes you deserve the answer. Don't take God for granted. Give Satan the boot. Are you prepared to risk losing all the blessings that God has to offer? Maybe it's only a tiny blessing, as you would consider, although none of God's blessings are really tiny. Maybe you can, carry on without it. But then again, maybe it's what you class as a real whopper of a blessing you need an answer to. One you've really been praying about and wanted so badly. Now, I'm not talking about a new car, although that's possible. I'm not talking about, things of the world, although they are possible, too. Through God, all things are possible. But you've really been praying about it lately. And you want God to intervene. So, first of all, our God doesn't deal... Get this now. He doesn't deal in tiny blessings. Secondly, if you are disobedient to God, do you have a Robin Hood attitude? Take from the rich, give to the poor? That's the devil's way. Many who are rich because they are blessed of God. And though the scriptures say it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven, we must realize being rich is not a sin. Every rich man is not like it's not like the rich man and the rich man and the beggar in the Bible. A hoarder. Someone who frowned upon the poor and thought only of himself. You know, when I first got my computer, man, this is something. I was anxious, I was anxious to check out some of the good old King James hard preaching that was on the computer I'd heard about, huh? Man, it is loaded with sermons. But I just couldn't get enough. Another perspective on the Word of God, helping me to understand, to get into the Word. As I continued to scroll down on the web, I was suddenly confronted by the evil one. the hard preaching suddenly turned into hardcore. Right there, in front of my eyes, no warning, all came down under the initial heading of hard preaching and just segued quite naturally into from hard preaching to hardcore right in front of my eyes. You know, I had to give it to God. I had to do some serious on-the-spot praying. God, in His great mercy, led me away from what was there before my eyes. But He also gave me something else. The foresight to know that evil lurks around every corner, on every television, on every computer. It's a mistake, a bad mistake, to get caught with your prayers down. Friends, the world was meant to be one big Garden of Eden. That's the way God intended it to be. But when Lucifer fell, he fell right in the backyard of each one of us. Disguised as a serpent, he fooled Adam and Eve and brought a curse upon all the land. Since then, Satan has become the father of the very earth so many of you celebrate on Lucifer's birthday. It's called Earth Day. The devil is on everyone's side who is not on the Lord's side. He doesn't want you to choose what God would have you do. What kind of freedom is that? He wants you to choose whatever you want to do. He wants you to do, or I should say us. He wants us to do what we want, to go where we want to go, to say what we want to say, and to think what we want to think. It's all part of His plan. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Got a problem? Got a problem? First, now I emphasize the word first, go to the Lord God in prayer. Not as a last resort, but as a first resort. Put God first, and He'll put you first. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. If you go to a psychiatrist or a counselor, they'll tell you, oh, you should get out more, socialize, mingle with others, participate, stop being a hermit. If that doesn't work, come back in a month, I'll give you some pills. Even so-called Christian counselors are not the answer for what God can do. They are not always saved, but they use the banner of Christ to their own advantage. And usually, their advice is contrary to Scripture and cluttered with New Age theories. Even some pastors whose private and personal conduct is in compromise can lead you further and further astray. Remember, we have an advocate, an intercessor with God, the man Christ Jesus. Don't make the mistake of following people before God. The big push today in the new emerging church is that you must love yourself first. I call that Oprahism. Oprahism? Or else, if you don't, you'll be no use to God if you can't love yourself first. No. He who is first shall be last, and he who is last shall be first. My friends, humility is ability through God. Satan says, you're a good person. God says, you're a sinner. You give to the poor. You minister to the young and the elderly. You love your neighbor. You're a good person. In God's eyes, unless you're saved, you're nothing but a child of the devil. A dirty, rotten sinner. All your works are as filthy rags. Satan uses God's model, love. Love your neighbor. Love the sinner. Love the child molester. Love the murderer. Love the abuser. Love the homo. Yes. Yes. Love them. But hate the sin. The emphasis is love your God first. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, love God first. Then He will direct your path. The question is, who do you love more? Who do you love more? The answer is simple. Love God first. And to show you love God, you have to be obedient. Is that so hard to understand? I know it's hard to do, but is it hard to understand? That's how you show your love for God, by being obedient to Him. The Bible says, forsaking all others, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, children, wives. Put God first. To love God is to hate sin. Did you know that? You've got to hate sin in order to love God. If we hate sin, we must also hate the devil, for he's the father of sin. But if we hate the devil, do we have to hate the devil's children? No. We hate their sin, but we love them. Love the sinner, hate the sin. You know, all men were created equal in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. When Adam, being without sin at the time, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though it was wrong, it also instilled this knowledge into all of mankind, that we are sinners and without excuse. He should have given that old serpent the boot. However, because a substitute, Christ Himself, was offered for all sin, henceforth we who receive Him as our Redeemer are washed clean from the stain of sin, covered by His atoning blood. So, when God says He hates the sin but loves the sinner, it is not reasonable to believe this reference is to the saved. Is it not? As opposed to the devil's lot? How can God love a child of the devil? Can He? Yep. Is this possible? You might ask. Yep. Then God must have loved some of the, or all of the notorious tyrants and Hitlerites and Napoleonites and what have you, all through the ages. Yep. But He hated their sin. Yep. Oh my. What a tangled web we weave. Do we assume too much, you think? I mean, when Christ hung on the cross, picture this, if you will. Christ on the cross, near death. And he says to his Father in heaven, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, was this an invite in heaven, or was it merely a moment in time? And what of repentance? And the thief on the cross next to him who made a formal plea, the thief also had something else. He had something else. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus could save his blackened soul. His faith saved him. Just like it saves us today who believe in Jesus Christ. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, then there's the issue of soldiers who die, fight and die for their country. Even though they were Christ rejectors, some of them, would they be saved because they laid down their life for their friends, their country? Well, a lot of people seem to think so, but I'm sorry to inform you. That's not what God's Word says. God's Word says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Please be aware. Jesus said that, and when he said it, he was talking about himself going to the cross and laying down his life for those who believed in him. Those who would come to him. Not Christ rejectors. I'm sorry. It breaks my heart when I think about it. I'm an ex-military man myself. My whole family were in the military. I've lost friends. I've lost family members in the wars. They weren't all saved. They didn't all go to heaven because they laid down their life for their country. If they did, they made Christ a liar. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What could be plainer than that? You know, God is not the author of confusion, although we are one confused bunch. But Satan is. Satan's the author of confusion, and that confusion is manifested in all the different versions of the Bibles that we have now in Christian bookstores. They've had to expand the shelves to accommodate all the different versions of Bibles. Oh, I can't even begin to list them for you. Hundreds of them. All different versions. Is this not confusing? This confusion which entails the corrupting and diminishing of God's Word is straight from the pit of hell. We don't need to rewrite God's Word. We need to reread it. The Holy Spirit was not given so that religious people could get in an ecumenical setting with their hands waving in the air and their eyes rolling white as they swayed to contemporary rock music. You know, I so love the way that Brother Sam Gipp phrased it when it came to the issue of contemporary Christian music. Making reference to rap, excuse me, and rock and roll, what have you, the music that's out today and the music that's coming, he said that just because someone takes a piece of music and adds a line or two mentioning Jesus Christ, that doesn't sanctify the music. No, it just makes the name dirty. He went on to say, if I take a piece of wood and router it, you know, like carve into it the name of Jesus Christ, then go outside and slosh it around in a mud puddle, tell me, does that make the puddle holy? No, but it makes the name dirty. The problem in today's churches is that people are being moved for the moment instead of being saved for eternity. And the problems don't end there. The mortality rate for aisle walkers with phony professions of faith continues to rise at an alarming rate, while the roll call for pastors is on a steady decline. It's been estimated that 1,500 pastors bow out every month in North America alone. Some quit for personal reasons, while most simply close shop after realizing they were never called to God in the beginning. A rude awakening, you would say, huh? How is it with you? Are you ready to lose God's blessings? It's easy to do. Throw in the towel. Or simply chicken out on your mandate. Or you can give Satan the boot. Do you know how to have God shower you with blessings? Have you been listening to this message from the beginning? It's a big four-syllable word. Obedience. Obedience. But before you look for blessings, be sure of your salvation. Paul put it so adequately when he said, work out your own salvation. He wasn't saying save yourself. He was saying examine yourself. Are you really saved? Work it out. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus with a desire to give your all on the altar of God. Believe in your heart that Christ suffered and died and rose again from the dead, shedding his precious blood to cleanse you from all your iniquities. Ask him to save you. It's that great. He's that great. How to know for sure you are saved never fails. Please, you need never wonder about your salvation again. Here's the proof that you're saved. If you never listen to anything else, please stay attentive to what I am about to say as I close this message. Our old things passed away. All those, you know, sinful ways that you had become so accustomed to. You know, like going out with the guys or the girls, you know, for a night on the town. Drinking, maybe. Smoking. Cussing. Do you still have a desire to do those things? As some of the counselors would say, more socializing? Are they passing away? Do you lose the desire to want to do that? When your girlfriend or your buddy calls you up and says, hey, We're going out Friday night. We're going to make the rounds. You coming with us? Do you still want to go? Or do you feel the Holy Spirit working inside you saying, no, no, that's sinful. No, you can't do that anymore. You belong to Jesus. Have the old things passed away? Do you have a desire in your heart to obey God? I didn't say you would obey God. I said, do you have a desire to? Desire and obeying are two different things. When you have a desire to obey God, the Holy Spirit which indwells you will help you in your obedience. Do you have a desire within to please and serve God? If you do, these things are proof positive that you are saved and that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence. Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Have you committed yourself to Him and say, I believe you died for a sinner like me, and I want to give my life to you. I want to acknowledge you as my blessed Savior. Have you done that? If not, don't wait another day, for tomorrow is promised to no one. You see, before these wonderful changes can occur, there's one important step you must take. Acknowledge that Christ suffered and died and shed His precious blood to wash away your sins, and believe He rose again. And He did it for you. And you. And you. And you. And for every sinner everywhere. All you have to do is believe Him. Believe in Him. Turn from that wicked, wicked life you've been living. Although to you it may not be wicked. But it is. It's the devil's world. Do you want to continue living for the devil? Or do you want to give him the boot? It's up to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise and thank Thee, Lord, for the words You have given me to speak today. I pray, Lord, that the ears that have heard it, the hearts that were open to it, Lord, would receive it with grace. And those who are not saved and have listened intently, Lord, that they will may have a turning unto Thee. They would get saved, believe in Thee. And those who are saved and not getting the blessings that You want to give them, Lord, that they would understand their need to be obedient to Thee. Then watch the window of blessings open up and be poured out upon them. Oh, Lord, have mercy, just as You've had mercy on a sinner like me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.